SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
We live in such a divided time, and as Christ followers, it's so hard because everyone has an opinion and no one wants to listen to anyone else, and they think they have an inside track on all the different social issues that are going on. And we're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today on SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's so interesting because our country feels so divided, but as Christ followers, we want to be united, and it's such a weird season.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think sometimes we get confused with the idea of unity versus sameness. So I think sometimes when it comes to our politics, we think we should all be the same, when in reality, we're going to have different ideas and different positions that are going to bump up against each other, but we can still be united as Christ followers, even if our politics differs.
It's so interesting as a tension for all of us, but you lived through this because your dad actually ran for president in the 90s. Tell me your story.
Yeah. So I grew up just outside Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia in the suburbs there, and politics had just always kind of been a part of my family's story. Both my parents moved to D.C. after they graduated college. They met working at the Republican National Committee. They got married, and my dad worked in the Reagan administration as Undersecretary of Education and then Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to the President. So that was just kind of always a part of our life. We were close enough politically to the inner circle that we got kind of the perks of being involved in politics, but none of the really challenging things until in 1999, my dad threw his hat into the Republican nomination for president. And that changed things for us. That put us in a spotlight that we hadn't been in before and kind of showed us a little bit of the underbelly of the political side, kind of experienced having what it feels like to have a narrative written about you without you necessarily participating in how that came about. So that was one side of it. The other side of it was, you know, Washington is such a tribal city. We know this, but it's usually Republicans versus Democrats. There's these two teams, right, wrong, bad, good, whatever. But in primary season, it's Republicans versus Republicans and Democrats versus Democrats. The conflict is in-house. And what was so interesting to me was how easily in that season we could make adversaries out of our friends, people that would normally be on our side. We could find something to disagree with them about. And it just kind of spoke to this tension in politics that just keeps us divided in ways that I'm not sure we have to be all the time.
We're talking about the space in between. We're talking about how Jesus teaches us to live together when politics and religion want to pull us apart. We're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SOS. And her dad actually ran for president in the 1990s and worked in politics for a long time. But Sarah, it's so easy to feel helpless in this political climate that we're living through. Speak to those who desperately want to be a part of the solution to solving problems, but don't even know where to tangibly start. Because anytime you bring up anything that sounds like a social issue, everybody wants to pigeonhole you somewhere.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The pigeonholing situation is real. But, you know, I actually feel like we're in an advantage being citizens, being normal people and not necessarily elected officials, because I don't think we can necessarily count on the people in leadership to show us how to do this anymore. And I feel like real change is going to happen one by one, relationally, in real life relationships. So I don't think that we need to count on a certain policy changing or being enacted or a certain party being in control or not being in control for us to begin to move forward. My advice to people is to begin to engage with people who think differently than you, because just putting a face on the position that you disagree with allows you to humanize them in a way that you probably wouldn't before. And I think it allows for more room for complications in a good way. I don't think things are as black and white as we make them out to be. And when we begin to engage with someone who thinks something differently than we do, we see the nuance that's involved in taking these different positions. And I think that's a good thing. I think we want to lean into that tension and not necessarily pull away from it.
It's so interesting. Anytime you bring up a certain social issue, people want to think like, oh, that's a Republican issue or a Democrat issue or that's socialist or... But as Jesus followers, we look at a lot of different issues and say, no political party gets to have a hold on whether this issue matters or not. It's about what we do with that. Like as Christ followers, how we deal with poverty, there's a lot of different ways to do that. But we all recognize that poverty is a problem and we want to help people that are poor and we want to help those that are displaced and those that are coming seeking refuge and asylum. And we don't know what to do with that. And maybe we have a different opinion on do nonprofits do that? Do the church do that? Do we have the government solely do that? But when we dig into it, the issues themselves are issues that Jesus taught about. What do you think we need to do to de-escalate like the passion level behind it that turns toxic?
Yeah, I think we need to begin by claiming that Jesus was either a registered Republican or a registered Democrat. I think that's the first problem, is that when one party begins to think that Jesus belongs solely to them, I think it allows us to stop being critical thinkers of what the other party believes or another position believes. And it allows us to potentially get away with some really bad behavior all in the name of God, because if God's with us and everybody else is against us. So I would think we've got to allow room for the nuance and understanding what Jesus talked about and how he talked about it. And let's be honest, he was trying to be pigeonholed when he lived 2,000 years ago. People tried to put him in a box as being only for the marginalized, only for the oppressed, against the powerful people. And then he would have dinner with a tax collector named Zacchaeus and disrupt all the boxes all over again. So he understands what it's like to not quite fit in every place we try to put him in. I think if we're not experiencing a Jesus that makes us slightly uncomfortable in what he's talking about and what he's asking us to do, then I'm not sure we're actually engaging the real Jesus. We want to make sure that we are made to feel even just a little bit uncomfortable, because if Jesus starts to look too much like us, it's possible we're trying to conform him into our image instead of being conformed into his.
We see a lot about narrative. Every time you turn on the news, it's like someone saying one thing, and then there's commentators commenting about that thing, and someone else sharing their opinion. And we start our day and we wonder why we're so depressed and hopeless. And we're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SWS Radio. And her dad actually ran for president in the 1990s, and she grew up in her family all through that. And what's so interesting is we pigeonhole people, and we think someone's a certain way, and we want to ask questions thinking they have an agenda. And yeah, sometimes people do. But most of us, we get into our line of work because we want to help. And I think that's the part that we forget about people who work in politics. And we just start attacking and we start labeling. But there's real people that started in a place where they wanted to do something to make some change.
I wish that people paid more attention to the real person behind the talking head on the screen. That's the politician or whoever it happens to be. I think we forget that they're human beings too, that they go home to families at night. You know, there's a way they like their coffee in the morning, that they are unique people and not just representatives of kind of like this monolith or narrative that they represent a particular political party. But yeah, I think we get pigeonholed. And I don't think we allow room for curiosity, to be surprised by people who don't think the way that we do. And instead of just rushing to judgment, asking questions, not like, how could you possibly think that? But what are your experiences that have led you to feel so strongly on this issue, when I hold a different opinion, but we both follow Jesus? So I want to know more about your story that led you to this place, instead of just drawing conclusions that make you the sum total of your political decisions and not an actual human being.
As contentious and divisive as our season has been this last month or two or three or this whole year, it's like, it's not the first time we've seen this. I mean, we're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SWS Radio. Unfortunately, it's not going to be the last time we see it, because this November, it's going to be divisive. But when Jesus was walking the earth 2,000 years ago, the political climate wasn't really that great back then either, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I find it interesting that given the climate that he was living in, he was still asking his followers to be peacemakers. And I think that that's a really big deal. I think sometimes we get confused with this idea of a peacemaker versus peacekeeping. You know, Jesus was not asking us to keep the peace, to pretend that there weren't issues that needed to be solved. But he also wasn't asking us to keep peace by dominating another side and forcing them into submission, which is what Rome tended to do, right? To make peace, we need to be willing to engage with another side. And that Jewish word for peace, shalom, really has a sense of wholeness to it. It's not an absence of conflict. It's about taking different parts and making a whole. And when I think of the place our country is in and the different positions we represent, we all represent these factions or these parts that together could make a beautiful whole. So when we make peace, when we want to talk about making peace, we want to talk about providing a third way that's not just one party dominating over another party, but figuring out what's the best that both parties can bring to the table and move forward there.
We're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SWS Radio. We've been talking about the difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker, like Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. And Sarah, when we're promoting peace in a family dynamic and nothing seems to be working, is there a point where you just give up or refuse to adopt the mentality? Or what do you do when it seems like nothing you're trying really works for a breakthrough?
Yeah, that family dynamics are hard. And if there's one thing I have heard repeatedly from people who have read my book, it's being used in families that are worried about how this is going to affect their relationships over Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, in the next couple of years. And I get that. You know, I come from a political family. I don't always line up all the time with my family. So we've had to figure out a way to talk about these issues. And just some of the principles and the practices that we've tried to adopt is really just finding our common ground right away, you know, figuring out what are the things that we can all fall back on. And even if it's not necessarily a policy or a piece of legislation, I can look at my parents and they can tell me they want the best possible world for their grandchildren. And I'm on board with that. Those are my kids. I want the best possible world for them too. And so we can kind of rally around that, even if it plays out differently, when our motives are generous, but we're assigning generous motives to the other people in the room, in the conversation, it's a lot harder to have such animosity towards them because we know we're all just doing the best we can to figure it out. So I would say start with commonalities, and I would say to start with curiosity. Again, asking the questions, investing in the circumstances that shape people to want to feel this strongly about things. But at the end of the day, there are some conversations that just don't need to happen. You don't need to attend every argument you're invited to. You can say no. I think there are times when you can tell this is a dialogue. There's curiosity and a humble posture, and this is just going to escalate into an argument. So I think we need to figure out what's the tone going into it, and then also, what are the issues worth fighting about? I don't think every hill needs to be a hill to die on. So decide before going into these contentious conversations, what are the things worth your energy, your emotional energy, your physical energy? What's the stuff that's worth your time investing into this? Because not everything is.
We're talking about how Jesus teaches us to live together when politics and religion pull us apart. We're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SOS. She grew up in a very political family. Her dad actually ran for president in the 1990s. And it's interesting, when you grow up in a family like that, I imagine everybody wants to pigeonhole you and your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles all a certain way because you share the same last name or because your dad worked in the Reagan administration. And when you're growing up and trying to figure things out for yourself and looking at your identity and flesh out your faith and these sort of things, what have you learned about listening to people who are very different, who have grown up in a different space and think that you're a certain way just because you have the same last name?
I think leading with this idea of curiosity, where I want to be a learner of you, shows that I am interested in you and you don't necessarily have me figured out, because we start to engage in a back and forth in a conversation. Then that's the stuff that brings life. It's not just living in these echo chambers where we're surrounded by people just like us. The life is found outside of our echo chambers, around the people who don't think like us. So I love engaging with people who learn that about my dad and are surprised to hear where we don't always line up anymore, or the areas where we do line up. And the thing that I love being able to tell them is that we don't agree on everything, but we still love to get together and share a meal together and laugh together and watch movies and, you know, go take and stand up comedy together. Whatever it is, we enjoy each other. Our presence has never been used as a bargaining tool with each other. It's always been, we were family first before we were anything else. And I think if I can communicate the importance of relationship between me and my family and how much I value that, then I think it allows me to show them I value relationship with them too, even if we don't land on the same page.
We're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SOS Radio, and her new book is called The Space Between Us. Now, Sarah, it's interesting because we're in a season where it doesn't feel like there's a lot of unity, right? I feel like we want to have diversity. We want to champion diversity. We want to champion unity in our church, but there's a lot of division. And we all draw lines, and we feel sometimes that people unfairly pigeonhole us or think we are a certain way when we're not, or they think that we've come from a different situation. And you just find out that we're all talking and no one's listening, or we're all sharing, but we're not taking the time to hear someone else. What do you think we as Christians need to do to have a breakthrough in the way that we listen so that we can better understand people who do have different views on what life should be like as a Jesus follower?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. When we read about Jesus, he asked way more questions than he answered. And so I think that that's part of it. He was so good about not placing blame and pointing out blame in other people, but kind of holding up a mirror to each person he encountered so they could confront themselves. So I think, you know, it comes back to that idea of dealing with the log in my own eye before I point out the speck in yours, I think we've got to do a lot of introspection, become really self-aware in our own biases and the things that we bring to the table and the way that we pigeonhole people. But then I think we've also got to learn how to ask those questions of others and allow us to see that common and that shared humanity. And I think the unity piece is recognizing that no matter who we're engaged with, no matter where they fall on the political spectrum, every single one of us is made in the image of God. And I can only understand God to the degree to which I see him in other people. So if there's something about you I don't understand, that means there's something about God I don't understand. And I want to lean into that to learn more, not to shut you out. Because if I shut you out, there's a piece of him that I'm neglecting to engage and neglecting to learn more about. So this is an invitation to lean towards people, not to close ourselves out. Because in closing ourselves out, we're shrinking this idea of God's kingdom.
We're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SWIS Radio, and it's going to be really interesting the first week of November, because with all the mail-in ballot initiatives, which are different than the absentee ballots and all of that coming in through the mail and still being counted after Election Day, there's a lot of people that are going to feel frustrated. There's a lot of people that are going to be disappointed. And then there will be some people that are excited. But it doesn't change the dissension that's really going on in our country. Sarah, you've come from a political family. You grew up through this, through many different presidencies and many different election seasons. You've seen Supreme Court justices added. You've seen different congressmen and senators and all the scandal that goes along with that. But where do you keep hope alive when you look at an election season where so many people may feel hopeless and then others may feel excited, just knowing that God's still in control, even though some things right now don't feel great in our country?
Yeah, I think it is important as Jesus followers to not be dismissive of how bad things can feel for certain groups of people and for whatever group of people feels like they've lost, you know, after the election day. I think it's important to remember that those are legitimate feelings of loss, of fear, of uncertainty that people are experiencing, and not to downplay that. On the other hand, I think it's important for us to remember that fear may be a great political motivator to get us to vote one way or the other, but it's not a great way to live. And Jesus has invited us to live lives that are free of fear and saying that God is love and love casts out fear. So we've got to live with the bigger picture in mind, understanding that God remains in control, remains on the throne, and that fear never gets to write the end of the story. And as much as we've seen legislation change or, you know, Supreme Court justices come and go, different administrations come and go, I think that the real hope for the future of America isn't in the political party that happens to be in charge of Congress or the executive branch or the Supreme Court, whatever it is. The real hope is in the relationships and the family relationships and the neighborhood relationships with the people who have got their boots on the ground and doing the hard work of making peace between one another. If we can't watch our leaders make peace with each other, then we have to take the responsibility of making peace in our families and with our friends. And ultimately, you know, for me, the thing that motivates me in wanting to do that is I've got two kids. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I don't want them to think that what they're observing this political season is normal and that this is the way it has to be. I want them to know that there is a better way, and I want them to know that because they experienced it in our family and in our friendships. So I think we've got to remember that we are passing something to the generation behind us. We can't afford to keep getting this wrong.
And as individuals, if we're not pursuing growth and we're not pursuing peace and hope and plugging into God's word, then how are we going to have any hope that others are going to do that?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, we got to lead in this way for sure.
We're talking with Sarah Bauer Anderson today at SWIS Radio. She has a new book. It's called The Space Between Us, How Jesus Teaches Us to Live Together When Politics and Religion Pull Us Apart. Thanks for sharing with us today, Sarah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.